Okay, good morning to everyone. I'm glad to see you on this another day that our God has made. It is only God who can make a day. He made day one, and the Bible tells us, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and He is still making days. So this is another day that our God has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. And we are glad in Him. I'm glad to see each one of you today. I've been praying for you. I've been preparing for you. I've been thinking about you. And I pray the same is true as you is thinking about me and praying for me as well. I look forward to our Sunday morning class. One of the highlights of my week is meeting with you together that we might study from God's Word. If we have any new people with us this morning, we are glad that you are here. My name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders, teacher of the Contemporary Bible Class of Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska, where Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus is the pastor. Sister Marsha Hall is the leadership ministry leader for life development. She is with us in class. But we greet you in the name of Jesus. This class is open to anyone who has computer access or even telephone access. Anyone is welcome to join the class. So please continue to invite others to send them the Zoom information, and they are welcome to come. We are going to continue today in our study from Luke chapter 12. We have a lot to cover. As most of you all know, the Lord feeds us graciously and generously every Sunday. And we could say there is no sparseness in our God. He just richly blesses us as we feed on His Word. Before we go into our study of Luke chapter 12, I want to ask you all to continue to keep me in prayer. As you know, I'll begin teaching tomorrow and the next four, tomorrow and the three Mondays after that, the survey of the book of Revelation. Thank you to all of you who have registered, and it's been quite a few of you, so that's a good thing, and many others from different places have registered as well. If you would like to take that class, and I encourage that you do need to register. You can go to my website. That's probably the quickest way to do it, and you'll see a link on there for registration. It is free to all of you who are members of New Era Baptist Churches, which is most African-American Baptist churches in Omaha. To those who would like to register and you're not a member of a New Era Church, or you may even be out of town, but you can still participate and be a member, be a classmate in this course. So just go on my website for more information. To those of you who have registered, your Zoom ID and all that information will be coming to you tomorrow. So look for it sometime in the mail tomorrow, in the emails tomorrow. There will be a waiting room, which means some of you are familiar with waiting rooms. You know, in our Sunday school class, you're not in a waiting room. You just log in and get in. But for these classes, the class tomorrow, the Survey of Revelation, you do have to register because you will be in a waiting room before you're allowed to come into the classroom. And so I need to say some of you share devices, and that's fine. Like I can see Wendell and Sharon, and I also saw Beverly and BJ. I lost them, but they may be still out here. If they registered and they come in together, that's fine. But if you use two different devices, both of you need to register so you can be allowed into the classroom. So I ask for your prayers. Revelation starts tomorrow, 7 o'clock. The room will be open at 6:30. Well, we're going to go to, if you have any questions, email me. I'll be glad to answer your questions today. Email me or give me a call. Okay, let's go to our Father in prayer. I again welcome each and every last one of you today on this April 25th, 2021. Blessed God, our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. We come before you rejoicing, but we also come before you in reverence. And for that reason, Lord, we do bow our heads before you. high and holy God. We thank you, Lord God, for ushering us by grace into a brand new week, into a brand new day. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our Savior, your Son, our Savior, and our Lord. We praise you, Lamb of God. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit whom you have given. We thank you that he is our teacher and he is our guide, and we are depending on the Holy Spirit to teach your word to us, make it real and applicable in each of our lives. We thank you and we praise you. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, whatever they may be. We pray, dear Lord, forgive. We ask you now to strengthen us where we're weak, build us up where we're torn down. We pray for our fellow classmates, brothers and sisters in Christ, and for whatever needs there may be in their lives, whatever purpose you have in their lives, Lord God, we pray for them and for their families. You know what we stand in need of better than we can tell you. And now, blessed Lord, we ask you to be with us as we look into the book, your word, and we ask you now to give us an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say even now to the church, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor forever and ever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 12. For any new people who are joining us, I do teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. But if you happen to have another version this morning, that's fine. But I do recommend for classroom that we all have the same New King James Version. Okay, we are currently going through the gospel according to Luke. We started at Luke chapter 1 several years ago. We are now in Luke chapter 12. So this morning we're going to continue there. And we have found out Luke chapter 12 occurs on the same day as part of Luke chapter 11. This was a busy day in the life of Jesus when he cast out that demon in Luke chapter 11, verse 14. And from Luke chapter 11, verse 14, all the way through Luke chapter 13, verse 9, all of that occurs on the same day. It was on that day in Luke chapter 11, 14, that Jesus cast out a demon. There was a man who had a mute demon, and Jesus cast out that demon, and the man was able to speak, and the man was able to see. As a result of the miracle that Jesus had performed, the healing, the deliverance in this man, there were three reactions to that. And we saw those reactions to Jesus casting out the demon. And all three of those reactions were demonically inspired. So we found out Luke chapter 11 all the way through the rest of Luke chapter 11 is a passage of conflict. It is a passage of opposition. It is a passage of spiritual warfare. Satan working behind the scenes, but working through people. We saw Satan working through the crowds. We saw him in Luke chapter 11 working through one woman. And that's in verse 27 of Luke chapter 11, where this one woman offered up a false praise to Jesus. Satan was behind that. And then we saw in Luke chapter 11, verse 37, where Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house. And he went to the Pharisee's house, but it was just not a dinner of hospitality. This was a dinner where the Pharisees had plotted together because they were trying to figure out how to kill Jesus. And that we're going to see that plot thickening more and more as we proceed in the gospel according to Luke. But they didn't like Jesus, but they invited this Pharisee, invited Jesus to the house. And so when Jesus comes to the Pharisee's house in Luke chapter 11, verse 37, it says, and as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. Well, wasn't long after that, Jesus, he offended the Pharisees. They were offended. They didn't like that Jesus did not keep their ceremonial traditional laws. Jesus always kept the law of God. He never broke one law of God. But as far as man-made laws and man-made traditions, Jesus did not keep their man-made traditions. And they were hot and furious, and they were mad. But they got hotter and more furious because in verse 39, Jesus began to strip the covers on them. He revealed their true nature. Jesus says in Luke 11, verse 39, "Now you Pharisees, you make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness." And they didn't like Jesus saying that. Jesus said, "You all looking mighty good on the outside, but your inside is full of greed and wickedness." So they were a bunch of dirty, wicked people, but they were dressed up looking good on the outside. And Jesus exposed them. He went on doing that all the way until we get to verse 52. Jesus pronounced six woes upon these Pharisees. He didn't say blessed. He did not say blessed be you. He pronounced woes. In other words, they are curses if they don't take heed to the warnings of Jesus. Well, when the dinner was over, it tells us in verse 53, "As Jesus and as he," Jesus, "said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him." And so that's Luke chapter 11. But Luke chapter 12 is going on. The scene goes on. So even though our Bibles say Luke chapter 12, don't let that hinder. It is still the same day. It is still really the same scenario. And so Luke chapter 12 lets us know, while they were in the Pharisee's house, Jesus and the disciples, a group of people, a big group, had gathered together on the outside. So many people that Luke 12 verse 1 tells us they trampled one another. Well, Jesus didn't pay no mind to those people all on the ground running, chaotic scene. It was a scene of chaos. But Jesus didn't pay it any attention. He immediately began to instruct his disciples. He did not get distracted. And I believe that this was another attack of the enemy to have all of these people in chaos, but it didn't work. Jesus was focused and he began to immediately go into instructing and teaching his disciples. We found out on previous weeks, Luke chapter 12, Jesus had plenty of instructions. We're going to read our passage in just a moment. In Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, that's what we'll be covering today, and I hope to complete this passage today. In Luke chapter 12, 1 through 12, Jesus gives four different instructions. There is, first of all, Jesus lets the disciples know. He warns them in verse 1, red letter, "Beware, lights flashing. Take heed, there is danger. Danger is all around." And he warns his people, his disciples, to don't be hypocrites. That's what he says. He says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And so we had seen in Luke chapter 11, the Pharisees were a bunch of hypocrites. But Jesus was letting his people know, you stand in danger of becoming a hypocrite too. And not only the disciples, so do we as Christians. We don't want to be hypocrites. So we pray, Lord God, create in me a clean heart, create in me a right spirit, create in me a pure spirit. If there's any measure of hypocrisy in me, Lord God, I pray, deliver me. We don't want to be the hypocrites. It could have been. Just imagine if you were living back in Bible days, as we say, back in the New Testament, would you be in the crowd or would you be one of those Pharisees? Well, a lot of us perhaps would have been one of the Pharisees because we are the ones that are doing what? Reading God's word. We are the ones that say we love God. We are the ones who are seeking to follow God. Well, that's what the Pharisee says. The Pharisee says, I love God. The Pharisee says, I'm reading God's word. Matter of fact, I'm teaching God's word. So it could have been, if we were alive back in that day, that we would have been one of those Pharisees. That's something to think about. And we don't want to be one of those Pharisees today. We thank God we weren't back in that day and age. But even today, we could be have the spirit of a Pharisee. And so it behooves all of us to be real before God, be real before him. And if you know you have a weakness, take it to God in prayer. Continue to pray and ask the Lord to strengthen and deliver. And so the first warning comes forth in verses 1, 2, and 3. The warning is, don't be a hypocrite. That's the instruction. And then the next instruction we saw was in verses 4 through 7, where Jesus tells his disciples, fear God more than you fear people. You know, fear God more than people. And then the next warning comes in verse 8 through 10. And in 8 through 10, the instruction is, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Confess him. Confess Jesus Christ. And you all have probably seen it. You've probably seen preachers and pastors or Christians that have been asked to give a prayer, especially in some governmental position. The session is getting ready to open, and some chaplain or some Christian gives a prayer, but they don't end it in the name of Jesus. And they probably very well love the Lord, know Jesus, but for whatever reason, they don't end those prayers, some of them, in the name of Jesus. And that could be a case of being ashamed, or it could be a case of fearing man more than God, where man says, well, you can pray, but don't pray in the name of Jesus. And so if we're ever in that situation, and if we are, we got to make a choice. Who are we going to fear? Are we going to fear God, fear man more than God? Because we know as Christians, we can't come to God unless we come through Jesus. And so it's many ways we could be ashamed of Jesus. But the warning in verses 8 through 10 is confess him. If you're called on to pray, pray in the name of Jesus, all right? And then the last warning here, or exhortation, is depend on the Holy Spirit. He will help us. The Holy Spirit, he will help us. Now, for all of these instructions, these three of these instructions here, there is an incentive. Now, you know what an incentive is. Well, let me stop right now. Let's stop and read the passage. I need to read the passage. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Let me stop right there. So we saw the warning, don't have that leaven in you that will mess up the whole batch. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Then the Lord gives an incentive. You know what incentives are. Incentives are things that someone may do to motivate you, to encourage you to do something. And you've heard me say, I remember Reverend Wade Sr. said, hell is too hot, an eternity too long to fool around and lose your soul. I remember that. And that was a great incentive for me to want to be saved, to want to know Jesus. I didn't want to go to hell. Now, I love the Lord Jesus, but I'm saying that was an incentive for me because I did not want to go to hell. Well, you know about incentives. There are incentives. If you turn on the TV today, you'll hear someone say, well, we'll give you $1,500. We'll give you $1,500 more if you buy a car. Or the interest rates are down in order to mortgage a home or something. And that is an incentive. There are many things that encourage you to do something. Well, Jesus gives these incentives. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. What's the incentive? What motivates me to want to do what Jesus says? What motivates me to not be a hypocrite? Well, the incentive is, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Well, that's a good incentive to be real, because Jesus lets us know one day, somehow, one way or another, it could be in this life, it can be on the other side, it could be at the judgment. What you do and who you really are will be exposed. The truth comes out one way or another. And so that's an incentive to be real. The incentive feels everything that's covered, it will be revealed. And everything that's hidden will one day be known. Whatever you speak in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, in the inner room, it'll be proclaimed on the housetops. So that's incentive to all of us to be real. And start with being real with God. Start with being real with God and then real with others. Now, that does not mean we're perfect. We're growing in grace. We're growing. God is strengthening us day by day. But we are praying, Lord, help me to have a clean heart. So let's go on to verse 4. Verse 4 instruction, fear God more than man. Well, verse 4 says, and I say to you, my friends, precious words. Jesus says, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Did you all see the warning and did the instruction and the incentive? I think it's pretty clear here, the instruction and the incentive. Well, first of all, in verse 4, Jesus calls his disciples his friends. Thank you, Lord. And he calls us his friends too. And so Jesus, even though he says, my friends, you know, a real friend's going to tell you the truth. A real friend is not going to sugarcoat things. And so Jesus calls them friends, but he's getting ready now to tell them the truth. Hard truth, because he lets them know, you know, one word that keeps showing up here is the word fear. It says, my friends, do not be afraid. Well, that lets you know what? There must be a reason to be afraid for Jesus to say, don't be afraid. And then he says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Uh-oh, did he say kill the body? And he's talking to his disciples. And yes, he said, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. And after that, they have no more than they can do. Okay, so we understand that. The farthest man can go is to kill a body. And it happens every day. There will be many today. I don't know the number. God knows. There will be many today that will be killed one way or another. There will be many who will be murdered today. And the Lord says here, friends, don't be afraid of those who kill the body, because after they kill the body, they have no more than they can do. But he goes on to tell his disciples, here's the incentive. I show you whom you really need to fear. I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him. Fear God. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power. God has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now, you might think, well, why would he say that to his disciples? Well, he's letting them know, first of all, fear God more than man. Because if you don't fear God more than man, then you become the hypocrite. Because you're trying to please people. You're trying to keep in good company with people. And some folks have fooled themselves where they just are hypocrite and don't even know it anymore. But we want to fear God more than man. The incentive is that after death, God has power to cast into hell. And he's talking this to his disciples. Well, we may say as Christians, I'm saved. And Velma says, Velma is saved. I know I'm saved. I do know I'm saved. I have blessed assurance. I know that Jesus is mine. I know I've been washed in the blood. Amen. I can rejoice, just like Luke chapter 10 told us, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. But the warning is still to me, Velma, and to you, fear God. Fear him. Because in this age that we're living in as Christians, and we're old enough, most of us out here, and I can't see everyone who's out here, but most of us out here have lived long enough that we have seen a decrease and a degeneration, as it were, even within the church, of the fear of God. I mean, really reverences God. There was a time I can remember, now I'm just talking about fearing God, and we mean reverential fear, holy fear of God. You know, the four living creatures with two wings, they cover their faces because of the reverence of God, in the presence of God. And there was a time we were encouraged to get on your knees, even in the church. I can remember Reverend Watson said, if you're able, get on your knees and pray. And we would bow and get on our knees. Well, that was an act of reverence, of holiness to God. And now all over the place, I mean, all over the place, even among true Christians, there is really not a fear of God. There is a fear where we reverence him, yes. But the same God, we need to know that God is a consuming fire. He is nothing or no one to be played with. And Jesus is warning his disciples. And we have to see God like that. We have to have that fear of God. You know, you think of a really bad storm. You let it get dark enough outside, and we've seen this happen. You let the thunder roll and the lightning start flashing. Well, where it's really, really bad, then you can feel that fear. That's something that you know. There is a God in heaven, and he is meant to be feared. Now, he is our loving Heavenly Father, but we are still to remember and to come before him, approach him. You know, there's a lot going on now among saints coming before God too flippantly, but he is to be reverenced and he is to be feared. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Psalm 2. Let's go to Psalm number 2, back in the Old Testament. Psalm, the second number of Psalms. So Jesus is telling his disciples, fear God. And you have to keep that holy reverence of God, knowing, you know, I'm saved and I know I'm saved, but I also know I'm not in heaven yet. I'm not there yet. You know, we got to keep running this race. We got to keep walking this path. We have to keep denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. I don't fear losing my salvation because I'm eternally saved, but I'm not in heaven yet. I have to stay on the right path, on the road. Well, thank God, once you're really born again, the Holy Spirit, He has a work of helping us and securing us until the day of redemption. But we still need to fear God. Psalm 2, verse 11 says, serve the Lord. Well, that's what we're doing even now. Serve the Lord. And some are going to be leaving class to serve in different capacities within the body of Christ. It says, serve the Lord. How? With fear. And rejoice. We are supposed to rejoice with trembling. Did you see those oxymoron words? Kind of paradoxical words. It says rejoice. We are supposed to rejoice. We are happy in Jesus. We do praise Him. We do rejoice. But then it says with trembling. Because this is a holy, holy, holy God. We rejoice with trembling. Now, several weeks ago, I sent you on an email a diagram, and I'm going to share a screen here so you can see this diagram again. And it is a picture of worship, comparing it with yesterday and where we have come as a whole today. And you can see, first of all, the man is bowed down. Head bowed, eyes closed, all the way down, bowed before God. But over time, and things happen, and this is one work of the enemy. You know, he decreases. He seeks to decrease because he wants worship, and he seeks to decrease our true worship and really knowing who God is. And so you see the man, first of all, started really bowing down, but over time, and things just move and progress or digress. And then we can say how it ends up where man is proud before God. Now, that does not mean that the man is necessarily lost or doesn't know Jesus. But you can see the difference in our fear and worship of God. And we need to remember today, we are still to fear God, fear Him. And so that's what Jesus warns His disciples, fear God, because He has the power. Here's the incentive. God has the power to cast into hell. And you know that diagram I just showed? Where do you think the Pharisee would be? Well, the Pharisee, he would be the one all the way down on the ground. That would be the Pharisee. At least on the outside, but in his heart, he would be standing up proud. But he had all the outside things right. And so that lets you know you can be bowed all the way down and still be a hypocrite. Or you could be standing up just doing all shaking, shaking, shaking and have a pure heart. So we can't really judge that heart. God sees the heart of man. But we do learn from scripture, fear God. So let's go to another scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 is in the New Testament, you know, Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at it. Let's look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm trying to find my right verse here. Hebrews chapter 12, and let's just look at several verses, 28 and 29. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Hebrews 11, 28, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. We want to serve Him acceptably. Well, how do you serve Him acceptably? We keep in mind He's holy. We keep in mind He's to be feared. We serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? Because our God, the Christian's God, our God is a consuming fire. And so we need to be careful in our worship not to get too friendly with God, not to try to make God common. He's not common. God is high and holy. He is to be reverenced. He is to be feared. And so let's go back to Luke chapter 11. Jesus is telling his disciples, fear God more than man. Now he lets the disciples know that, now he brings up this word kill, Luke 12 verse 4. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that, they have no more that they can do. Now, you got to get into the disciples' mind, because in Luke 9, let's go back to Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus had told the disciples that he was going to be killed. So let's look at Luke 9, Luke 9, 22. For the first time, Jesus tells the disciples that he will be killed, Luke 9:22, saying the Son of Man, that's Jesus, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Talking about Jesus. Jesus is talking about himself, and he tells the disciples that he will be killed and be raised the third day. But as we go on in scripture, let's go to Luke chapter 11, the chapter we just left several weeks ago, Luke chapter 11. Now, keep in mind, Jesus is on his way to Calvary now. His public ministry has ended. Now he's journeying on to Calvary. He's on the downside, we would say, of his time on earth. And as he gets closer to Calvary, he has to prepare the disciples. He has to prepare them for his departure. He has to prepare the disciples to carry on. He has to prepare the disciples to get ready for persecution. Because just like Jesus had to be killed, he lets the disciples know you will be persecuted too and killed, perhaps. And we know, this is by the way, we know that all 12 of the disciples were Judas. He was the betrayer, committed suicide. He was the betrayer. All of the other disciples were killed except for one. And that was John, who was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. All of the other disciples were killed. History lets us know that, and scripture tells us that as well. So let's look at Luke chapter 11, verse 40. Well, let's start looking at this word kill. 47. Luke 11, 47. Woe to you, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, for you build the tombs. Well, that has something to do with death. You build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. So notice that. There's that word kill. Who was killed? The prophets were killed. Who are the prophets? They are the carriers of God's word. They are the ones who are proclaiming God's truth, and they were killed. So this tells us in verse 47, you Pharisees, you build the tombs, but your fathers killed them. That's the first time that word killed is going to appear now. Verse 48, in fact, you bear witness that you approve of what they did, your fathers killing the prophets. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your father, for they indeed killed them, the prophets. And you did what? Made sure they stayed dead. In other words, you built their tombs. The fathers killed them. That's the Old Testament group of martyrs. The Old Testament group of prophets that were killed. You killed them. Your fathers killed them. But you Pharisees, you build their tombs. So they were endorsing what their fathers had done. There's that word kill again in verse 48. Verse 49. Verse 49 says, therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets. Okay, so this is coming New Testament age. I will send them prophets. And now look at this, and apostles. Now that word apostle is a New Testament word. That word apostle did what? That got the disciples' attention. When Jesus said in verse 49, therefore the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles. That's those 12. And some of them they will kill and persecute. So for the first time, Jesus lets the disciples know, I told you in Luke 9, I'm going to be killed. But now in Luke 11, Jesus says, the apostles, some of them, they will kill and persecute. So Jesus has to prepare now. When we get to Luke 12, he's preparing his disciples for what they have to face. They have to face being persecuted, and they have to face being killed, being martyred because of their faith. And then it goes on. If you read on your own in Luke chapter 11, you'll see the word, like in verse 50, it says the blood of all the prophets that was shed from the foundation of the world. Verse 51, from the blood of Abel. You all know Abel, Cain and Abel. Abel was that first martyr. He was killed because of his faith. He was that first martyr. From the blood of martyr of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. And so Jesus is preparing his disciples for persecution and for martyrdom. Now let's stop a minute. I want to say a few words here on death. We need to talk about death because it's real. It's going to face all of us. Luke 12 verse 4 says, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Now here the Lord is talking about all kinds of ways you can be killed. There's many ways to die. I mean, all kinds of ways people die, causes of death. But right here in Luke chapter 12, it is because of their faith. Because of their faith in Christ. But let me say these things as an aside so we can just be aware of it. All of us know, except for the rapture, but plan on dying. You know, you plan on dying. Now, I'm saying these things as an aside, as I said. We all have to face death. None of us know when we're going to die, and none of us know how. Thank God he didn't reveal that to us. But we do know we are going to die. What is the reason? Why do people die? Why do we have to die? Why come we just can't keep living? Okay, good question. Well, we know the answer. The answer is because of sin. Sin caused us to die. God told Adam, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And to this day, God's word is true. Everybody dies, okay, because of sin. But we don't know how we're going to die. So let me give you five reasons or causes of death. And these are causes that the Lord has given to me. There may be others. I'm not saying this is exclusive, but these are all the ones that come to me right now. Causes of death. There's natural cause. Just your time is up. Natural cause. You weren't killed. You weren't sick. None of that. It was just your time to go. So that's natural cause. Natural causes of death. And I'm talking about physical death, not spiritual death. Okay? So there's the natural cause. Then another way people die is accidents. Many will die today because of car wrecks or whatever. All kinds of accidents. That's another way of death. Another way of death is disease and sickness. Many die because of sickness and disease. Then death can be because of penalties. And I'm thinking of executions and things like that. Because of some type of penalty. And that can bring about death, is a penalty. And then there is, of course, murder. Okay, so I think I gave you five. Natural causes, accidents, penalties, disease, sickness, and then there's murder. And up under murder, now each of these could be categorized, but up under murder, you could put martyrdom, martyrdom, M-A-R-T-Y-D-O-M, being martyred for your faith, being killed because of being a Christian. And so Jesus is preparing them for martyrdom, but he's also preparing us for death as well. He's letting us know, don't be a hypocrite. He's letting us know, fear God. He's letting us know, hold on to confessing Jesus because God has power. After we're dead, God still has power. So we have these incentives to do what's right. So those are causes of death. Now, Jesus preparing his disciples for martyrdom. Let's look, we looked at Luke 9:22. That's where Jesus said he was going to die. We looked at Luke 11:49. That's where Jesus told the disciples they were going to die. And because of being killed for their faith. Now you may say, well, Sister Velma, what does that have to do with us? Well, we're blessed being in America. I mean, America, most of us here in America, will not be killed because of our faith. But there are plenty of Christians that are killed because of their faith and being martyred, and they have to serve the Lord in hiding. They have to serve him in secret. They have to go off somewhere privately because they will be killed because of their faith and persecuted. There are many Christians today in prisons because they do not deny Jesus. And so they're persecuted for it, and they're killed. Here in America, thank God we're in America, even though we may not be martyred, if you truly live for Jesus and truly serve him, you will be persecuted. Now, sometimes this persecution comes overtly, obviously, kill them. But in our society, for the most part, it's more subtle. And for the most part, our greatest persecution is somebody doesn't like us. They ignored me. She's talking about me. He's making fun of me. I mean, that now that could be, I'm not making light of that. That is indeed a measure of persecution, but it's not martyrdom. But not making light of it, we can be persecuted in many ways. It's just more subtle. The persecution here in America is more subtle than in many other lands. But all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer some measure of persecution. If you really stand for Jesus, you'll be persecuted. If you really say, well, the Bible says you shall not, then you're going to suffer some persecution if you really stand on the word of God. Well, let's see what happened to these disciples. Now, I said I want to finish Luke 12:1-12 today, and I do want to do that. Time is ticking on down. So let me go to verse 6 and 7 real quickly. 6 and 7. Now we see Jesus says he already called them friends in verse 4, but in verse 6, he has a question for the disciples. Because, you know, when he said, do not fear, don't be afraid of those who kill the body, that got their attention. And, you know, this is another thing about death. We know we're going to heaven, all of us out here who know Jesus as our Savior. And we have made up our mind to follow Jesus. We ain't just saying, I believe, and then going to do what we want to do. We are really following Jesus. See, that's the difference. You really got to be a follower of Christ. Okay, if you're really a follower of Christ, anybody want to die today out in the classroom? You know, anybody willing to go today? Well, the answer to that would be no. None of us are rushing to die. Ain't not a one of us out here rushing to die. What are we trying to do? Everybody is trying to live as long as they can. Why is that? Even as Christians, we are trying to live as long as we can on this earth, even though we know we're going to heaven. And that's because death is an enemy. Death is foreign to us. We weren't meant to die. And so we do all we can on this earth to live. But we thank God. We know that Jesus died, but Jesus went down in that ground. He fought our battles, and he took the sting out of death, and he rose up from the grave. Hallelujah. So we know we're going to be okay, because Jesus is going to take us on over to the other side. My point is there's something about death where there's a natural fear of dying. Now, I'm not paranoid about dying. I believe Jesus is going to be with me, and he's going to give me the grace to die. But I'm not rushing to die today. I think you get my point. Amen. So you all get the point. We do all we can do to live and live for Jesus. Okay, so verse 6, Jesus says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? So you see a bunch of sparrows, 5 of them. They were sold, we'll say, for 2 pennies. And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. And so Jesus, even though he said, you're going to be killed, you many will be killed, he comes back around and lets them know God cares for us. God sees us. God knows us. Even though suffering may come, God cares for us. He is with us, and he knows us. So verse 6 and 7, God cares. And whatever we may be going through in life, God cares. All right? And then verse 8 and 9 and 10, the Lord lets us know, don't deny Jesus. Keep confessing Jesus as Savior and Lord. Keep doing what Jesus says to do. And then verse 12 lets us know we need the Holy Spirit. He will help us. He will strengthen us. He will keep us. Now let's follow the path in our last 3 minutes. Let's follow the path of the disciples. Let's go to the book of Acts. And I mentioned to you all of the disciples were killed for their faith, except for John, who was on exile in the Isle of Patmos, on the Isle of Patmos. And we don't include Judas because he was the betrayer. All the others were martyred. Okay, if you have your pen and paper, because we will run out of time, let me give you some passages. They're all in Acts. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Acts 4, verses 1 through 3. Acts 4, verses 13 through 21. Acts 5, verse 17 and 18. That's 5, 17 and 18. Acts 5, verse 28 through 33. That's Acts 5, 28 through 33. Acts 5, verse 41. Acts 7, verse 54 through 59. Have you noticed the pattern? What has happened? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's when Jesus was on this earth. Then he left. Acts is what? Jesus is gone. And the early church continues, and they are killed and persecuted for their faith. Let's turn together to Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 12, verse 2. And so as we go into Acts 12, we carry on in the same path of the disciples, regardless of life, what life may bring, and the persecution we may suffer, which is nothing compared to many. But it's persecution to us. We're still going to stand and hold fast to Jesus. Acts chapter 12, verse 2. It ends. Acts 12, verse 2 says, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And so that's one of those disciples who was killed because of their faith in Jesus. And so, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that you have called us unto yourself. And we want you, Lord, to just keep strengthening us so we won't be hypocrites. Keep strengthening us, Lord, so we fear you more than we fear people. So what if people don't like us? So what if they exclude us because we stand for righteousness? Help us to stand even in the face of persecution. And then help us to have a healthy fear of God. Help us to have a healthy fear of you, Lord. We worship you and we want to worship you acceptably. Now be with us through this week and keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful lesson.
Praise the Lord. That was a hard lesson to teach, but God helped us.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. God bless everyone. Next week, we're going to move on to Luke 12, starting at verse 13. Amen. Lord willing. I'll see you all tomorrow night for Revelation.
Have a great day.
Have a great day.
As well. God bless everyone.
God bless. Bye-bye. Pray
for me.
Love to everyone.
I'll pray for you.
We will.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Velma.
Thank you. God bless everyone.
God bless you too. Great blessing.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's Kiana again. Hi, Kiana and everybody else. Sister Lynn Cook, glad you're with us. Sandra Foster. Lisa and Galen. We haven't seen each other, most of us, in over a year.
It is. It's been over a year.
Over a year. God bless everyone. Have a beautiful week.
And you do the same.
Thank you.
All right.
Got to go to church.
Yep, we got to go to church.
Serve the Lord.
With gladness.
And rejoice with fear and trembling.
Amen.
God bless everyone.
All right, Joe.